U.S. Cyber Command is reviewing the results of its biggest exercise of the year. Cyber Flag is designed to test out the military force's ability to keep fighting when an adversary is attacking networks and to link up cyber forces with the more traditional air, sea, land, and space domains. Rear Admiral Kevin Lunday is Cyber Command's director for exercises and training. He talked about the exercise and the three types of teams involved in it with Federal News Radio DOD reporter Jared Serbu.
So underneath U.S. Cyber Command, the Cyber Mission Force describes the operating elements within the Department of Defense that are responsible for conducting cyberspace operations. We break the Cyber Mission Force into three groups of teams. The first, the Cyber Protection Force, is responsible for the defense of the Department of Defense information networks around the world. The second part of the Cyber Mission Force is the Cyber Combat Mission Force. Their job is to generate capability that supports combatant commanders around the world conducting military operations when authorized. And then the third component of the Cyber Mission Force is the Cyber National Mission Force. And they're responsible for, when ordered by the President or the Secretary of Defense, defending U.S. critical infrastructure against sophisticated cyber attacks that threaten U.S. national interests when the capabilities of other departments or the private sector has been overwhelmed.
And if memory serves, the Cyber Protection Force end of that is by far the largest. Is that right?
Yes. When it's completed, it will be the largest. And if you think about it, that makes sense in terms of the responsibility for the Department of Defense to operate and defend its own networks, and the importance of that given our reliance on our networks to conduct military operations.
Okay. So let's talk about CyberFlag 15-1, the exercise that you guys just wrapped up, which employed all three of these different types of teams, correct?
It did. It employed not only U.S. Cyber Command, but also each type of team of the Cyber Mission Force, and also allied partners who also participated in the exercise, which was one of the objectives of CyberFlag 15. So CyberFlag is Cyber Command's premier exercise that is used to train and evaluate our cyber mission force and our allies by putting them in a realistic force-on-force scenario in an exercise environment. Now, this year, the exercise involved the conduct of military operations in cyberspace that were integrated with simulated air, land, and sea operations in response to a regional crisis. This involved also using a trained expert opposing force who simulated a range of capabilities and tools and weapons that an adversary might use against the United States or a coalition during that regional crisis.
Can you talk a little bit about integrating those three different types of teams into one scenario? I mean, is that what would happen during a real-world incident, or are you simulating different types of incidents that each of these three different types of teams are responding to within the broader scenario, if that question makes sense?
It's really the scenario was developed to test the capabilities of each of those type of teams that are participating. It's not necessarily that we would use each of those capabilities in a particular scenario. I think what it points to is CyberFlag is an annual event. It's a major exercise for U.S. Cyber Command. Much like our other exercise we call CyberGuard, which was held in June of this year, which is more of a focus on how Cyber Command, other elements of the department, including the National Guard, DHS, and FBI, would respond to a domestic cyber incident. So those are two major annual exercises. But the Cyber Mission Force, as it's building, really needs more opportunity to train than just two major exercises a year. And so we're in the process of building additional capability for those forces to train on a regular basis, much like the joint forces in any of the other domains train almost continuously if they're not operating to ensure that they're ready when assigned mission to conduct. And so the scenario was designed to test all of them. That's not necessarily how it would always be done, certainly, but we're trying to increase the opportunities for the Cyber Mission Force to train under realistic scenarios and develop the capability and capacity and be ready when needed by the nation.
Let's talk about what realistic scenarios are. I don't know how deeply you can get into the details, but can you describe the scenario that y'all exercised out there at Nellis?
The scenario itself was a simulated regional crisis, so would have been within a particular geographic combatant command's area of responsibility. And we simulated that a joint task force, which is a common organizational structure that a combatant commander would use to respond to a regional crisis, that was put in place. And that the U.S. Cyber Command and the Cyber Mission Forces then integrated within the command and control structure of that combatant command and joint task force commander in order to be able to conduct operations. And so that's the scenario. In terms of adversary, for training purposes and to subject the teams to the greatest or the broadest spectrum, we simulated a number of different threats that they might face, not particularly tied to any adversary. We use a fictional actors, fictional states. They're not meant to represent real adversaries necessarily, just to provide the teams the experience of what it's like to face a range of threats and then how to respond to them and then evaluate them in that exercise environment.
And the opposing force, obviously, is also U.S. Cyber Command personnel. How accurately do you think they simulated what your forces would face from an advanced nation state?
Well, when we put together an opposing force, we draw from a broad variety of sources from across government, even from the allied partners who are participating, to bring in the experts that have the best capability to create that most realistic set of threats or spectrum of threats that our force might face. And that's what we did with CyberFlag as well. So it wasn't just U.S. Cyber Command people. We really look to reach more broadly for that expertise.
And I know you said you're looking for a more persistent training environment, which I wanted to talk about a little bit more as we go on. But for this discrete event, did you have a concrete set of objectives that you wanted to get to?
We did. Certainly, I think the objective with any military exercise is to learn, to create as much realism as possible for the joint force, to place them under as much pressure as we can that would simulate real-world conditions. But to do it in an environment where they have the ability to fail if the environment pushes them to that point and then learn from it, which we can't do in a real-world scenario. So I think the objective, first of all, is to learn. But for CyberFlag 15 specifically, the first one was to operate in a coalition environment, to bring together U.S. forces with allied forces and to be able to operate together in response to this proposed or simulated regional crisis, because that is the way we operate. The U.S. Joint Force operates today is primarily in a coalition environment. And so understanding how we work with our allies in that construct is very important. The second objective, I would say, is for U.S. Cyber Command and the Cyber Mission Force to focus on how we integrate operations in and through cyberspace with military operations in the other domains, air, land, sea, and space. Admiral Rogers frequently reminds us that we don't do cyberspace operations in a vacuum. They have to be integrated with operations in the other domains for them to be joint operations. I think the final objective is to practice operating in a denied and contested network environment. You know, we rely heavily on technology and networks to conduct operations, to communicate, to plan, to conduct military operations. So understanding our vulnerabilities and the risks of over-relying on that, and then if they're degraded in a crisis or a conflict, how do we continue to operate? How do we persist? How do we fight through that and achieve our military objectives, even when our technology and our operating environment and our networks have been degraded?
There's probably a lot of this question that you can't answer in detail, but what do you think you learned? The objective was to learn a few things. What do you think you learned?
So we use a fairly rigorous process of assessment teams that prepare well before the exercise, and then during the exercise, they are embedded with the teams and with the exercise managers, and they know where the exercise is going to go generally, and so they are in the best position to evaluate the performance of the teams under pressure, to assist them with learning from that experience. What we hope to do is to generate insights about how U.S. Cyber Command and the Cyber Mission Force and our allies will operate in cyberspace in conducting our missions. Most of the work of that assessment really begins after the actual exercise is over. We've gathered a massive amount of information, and we're really beginning to go through that now to try and generate those insights. What worked well? What can we build on? What were our challenges, things that we expected to be challenges or things that we did not expect that we need to address? And how do we begin to address those in priority order?
The news release that you guys sent out on this talked about the fact that one of the evolutions of CyberFlag over the years has been bringing in more federal interagency partners into the process. To what extent did that happen this time around? And can you kind of describe that evolution over the past few years?
Sure. It's important, I think, for us. Admiral Rogers, as the commander of U.S. Cyber Command, always talks about cyber being the ultimate team sport, and the realization that not only across the federal government, but in the private sector as well and with allies, that requires integrated effort and close teamwork. Certainly an understanding that our adversaries are not necessarily drawing a distinction between government and private boundaries, and that poses a more sophisticated threat that we have to face.
So given what you are attempting to learn as you evaluate the results and as you process all of this information that you talk about how that informs what you do going forward. How does that change the way you plan future exercises and this persistent training environment that you're trying to build?
So we are trying to generate the capability inside the not only U.S. Cyber Command, but the Cyber Mission Force. And we do that by a continuum or a series of training, not only training of individuals to meet their responsibilities, but training of the units inside the Cyber Mission Force as well. We do that much like you would train any other part of the joint force. You might train an Air Force fighter squadron or a brigade combat team in the U.S. Army, and then make sure it's ready and prepared to do assigned missions. What we're moving toward is increasing our opportunities for the Cyber Mission Force teams to conduct collective training. You asked about it. I think I mentioned the persistent training environment. And the idea behind that is that the Cyber Mission Forces would have the ability, because there was a closed network environment, much like we use for CyberFlag, an event management where you would have the exercise managers and assessors, the observers, the opposing force, all of that would be sort of constantly or regularly available so that the Cyber Mission Force could train on a regular basis or almost continuous basis, much like any other part of the joint force. And so we're moving in that direction. It's very important because in the end, presenting options to the president as the commander-in-chief or the secretary of defense is about ensuring that those forces are ready to perform assigned missions. And the best way to test their readiness is to put them in the most realistic situations possible under pressure where they can learn and then be evaluated on their ability to meet their mission tasks.